You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Welcome inside Studio 34 here in Manhattan. Big day. Alex Smith, now a member of the Washington football team, which means Kurt Cousins is gone, and a new era is upon us in Kansas City.
New era is upon us in Kansas City, the Pat Mahomes era. So, obviously, that is a young quarterback coming in, getting his first shot to be the leader of these Kansas City Chiefs team. He has some nice pieces around him on the offense, including Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, Tariq Hill. So he looks to be in a good spot right now. It's going to be ups and downs for the young quarterback. It's going to be ups and downs for the playmakers in that passing game. And you have to mention the fact that it's going to be ups and downs because Andy Reid is the head coach.
One of the positives, I totally agree with Corey. As much as I like him, as good as I think he can be, it's his rookie season. Yep. There will be ups and downs. But what is all quarterbacks, but especially a young quarterback's best friend, that's a good running game and a tight end. And you got Travis Kelce there.
You do.
And then you got the weapon that is Tyreek Hill.
Absolutely. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, certainly.
Trifecta, man. That's a nice.
And Travis Kelce putting Pat Mahomes in a position to succeed immediately, potentially, in Kansas City. Kirk Cousins heavily rumored and favored to wind up in New York with the Jets. We'll see ultimately if that happens. That's one major story. The other, Kevin Love breaks his hand last night, or at least breaks his pinky on his hand, that fifth metatarsal. He's going to be out for the next 6 weeks at least. It's all blowing up in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't use this word, but between the Alex Smith trade, the Kevin Love injury, the State of the Union.
Yes.
Twitter was lit. That's the first and last time I'm too old for that one.
Twitter was lit last night. There are hot takes everywhere. To me, my favorite tweet, I know we were talking about a favorite tweet earlier, but a different one. My favorite tweet was Alex Smith gets traded. Like, here's a tweet. Alex Smith traded to Washington. Tweet. Watch the conservatives in Washington having a great night.
I thought would have done so much better. I put Alex Smith is a designated survivor.
That's a good one too.
A lot of good stuff. But Kevin Love out for the next 6 weeks here, Cor.
Yeah, Kevin Love's out for the next 6 weeks. I think we've reached full panic mode with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, they still have the best player walking in LeBron James. It's going to be tough to eliminate that team, but it's going to be a real tough haul for James as he tries to carry that team through this stretch and then try to carry them again from a lower playoff seed. A trade needs to be made. I think that DeAndre Jordan is definitely needs to start packing his bags. So some kind of way they'll figure out a way to get him to Cleveland. I think they will be willing to part with everything except that draft pick, and more than likely Tristan Thompson has to stay also.
But the only thing they want is the draft pick. we'll give you everything. We don't know. We're good. No. We're fine. Thanks.
That draft pick is critical. Is this injury enough to make them come off that draft pick?
That is the question.
It really is.
We take a break. When we come back, what's going on with Yu Darvish?
Standing right there.
And the free agent market. We'll break down Yu Darvish and what potentially is holding up everything when we come back. It's the Roto Experts.
Hopefully it's us.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for the Roto Experts. So, Yu Darvish.
Before we get into Yu Darvish, shout out to Jackie Robinson. He would have been 99 years old
today.
You were
ruining my On This Day in History.
Oh, man. Let's make sure like we didn't say that. You, Darvish.
Thank you. We'll give you, I'll give you 15 whole minutes to talk about Jackie Robinson a little bit later on. All right, you, Darvish.
One and the same.
He hasn't been signed yet. It's January 31st. February is tomorrow. And the top pitcher on the free agent market hasn't signed yet. Why?
I think he wants to be a Dodger. I mean,
correct.
It's plain and simple.
Boom. Right. Look what it says right there. You, Darvish, wants to resign.
Wow, look at the graphics.
Dodgers. How about
that? Shout out to the JV closer, Chris Ventura.
Absolutely. And that's the truth. The reason he hasn't signed yet is because he doesn't want to go to Minnesota. He doesn't want to go to Milwaukee. He doesn't want to go back to Texas or Chicago.
I'm surprised he doesn't want to be a Cub.
I agree. But he wants to go back to L.A. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are trying to figure out a way to get under the luxury tax enough that they can fit in Yu Darvish. I think that was why they made the Matt Kemp trade. And now they're desperately trying to get rid of Matt Kemp and free up the money to sign Darvish. So that was one report. That was what I believe. That's why I put this in here today. The report comes out today from Ken Rosenthal that it's not just the Dodgers desperately trying to get under this luxury tax to sign Yu Darvish. Because that's one choice he has. The other one's the Yankees. And he wants to basically sign with L.A. or New York. And both those teams are like, we'd love to have you, but we have to get under this tax limit in order
to
do it.
And that's what's kind of held back this market. Everybody's like, you know. And as I've continually mentioned, it's that the front offices have gotten smarter. They're not going to give these contracts. They're going to base guys off of the formulas they have, off of the war, what they're worth, and stuff like that. I mean, for me, just on a purely, if I'm Yu Darvish, number one, I do want to go back to L.A. For fantasy purpose, you want Yu Darvish to go back to L.A. The World Series, to me, was a non-event. It was a slick ball. If his break and stuff isn't going to break, I mean, this is prior to the World Series, he was on a nice run. He was shutting people down. I just don't get why he doesn't want to go to the Cubs. That's what I, because the Cubs have such a good young core. He would fit that team perfectly. They need an arm like that. I find that interesting.
I will say this, before we get back to Darvish, I just had read this morning. We were just talking about it. Fox's deal with Thursday Night Football, 5-year deal.
Okay.
They're locking that in there because of their new strategy. So there you go. No word on who the announcers will be, but it will not be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in the booth.
The Cubs below the luxury tax, mm-hmm. they have the money and the pieces to move it. I think with the hang-up is Darvish. I don't think it's a situation where Darvish don't want to be out there. Darvish want to be on one of the coasts, so those teams are going to have to try to figure out a way to get underneath the tax, or you very well could see him be back in Texas.
I mean, I know the Angels have ponied up a lot of money. Well, I mean, look, they got a super discount on Ohtani due to the fact that he left a year early and it was only a certain cap. I mean, they still had to pay the $20 million to his team. But this team is in desperate need of, like, a Yu Darvish. And what they've been able to do on the offensive side, sure. I mean, and defensively, how they've shored up that team. If you want to go to L.A. and it's not the Dodgers, I guess Anaheim's not going to spend any more money or pony up that amount of money, which it's going to take for Yu Darvish. But that would be a perfect spot for him as well.
Okay, so going back to L.A., though, it's where he wants to be. At first, when I thought he didn't immediately re-sign with the Dodgers, it was because they needed to let time pass because of what happened in the World Series with Yu Darvish. They couldn't just re-sign him the day after the market started. Mm-hmm. Now it's clear that teams are considering this number of $197 million
kind of like a hard
as
cap.
A hard cap. Mm-hmm. It's very, very clear. Not just anymore because they want the free agents in 2018, 2019. But it's also because they need to save money. And it's a major, major way to do that.
See, I think it's more for the free agents.
There's only so many to go around, though.
No, man. But when look, Kershaw is, as of now, Kershaw's available. Harper's available. Machado's available.
Sure. But that's it. That's three guys. And there's more guys, of course.
Yeah,
those are the big three.
Those three, and I should have this. Who else is out there, too?
Sure.
I think there's a couple other guys as well.
Josh Donaldson's out there.
Yeah, I mean, but those three right there, I mean, when you look at Machado and Harper, those are guys you can give 10-year deals to. You know, they're going to command. You know, you're not. It's not like Albert Pujols or Miggy Cabrera in their early.
No leverage. Those players have leverage.
Yeah. So, and like Bryce Harper is going to cost you maybe upwards to $500 million.
Half a billy.
That's why.
So the Fox is paying the NFL.
Yeah.
That's why if you want to get
it's crazy, Bryce Harper's the NFL.
You want to be under this cap now and get yourself straight for that.
What, which is why I like what the Brewers are doing. Maybe not the guy. I know you've been on record, Matt, of saying, Lorenzo Cain, you're paying too much for this kind of guy, 5 years for 80. But what they're doing, the Brewers are not going to sign a Manny Machado, a Bryce Harper, mm-hmm. a Clayton Kershaw. That's not going to happen. They don't have the money for that. And quite frankly, these guys are not going to Milwaukee to play when they don't have to, right? But because of the advantages that the market is bringing these players down, Milwaukee's found themselves involved getting good prices and making their splash now. It makes sense. It is the way that a mid-market team should operate. Let's be frank here as well. It's the way the Mets should be operating too. Right now, because they're not going to sign any of these dudes for $500 million. So you go be a player in a market that is depressed right now. And they're not.
Yeah, and the thing with Kane is, look, as long as he's good this year and next year, then I guess, you know, if he's good for, let's say, a half a season in year three, and half that contract works out, they make the playoffs the next two seasons, it's worth it, I guess. You know, it will justify it. Like I said, if you look at it more on the average value of it as opposed to the years, then yeah, he is worth that. But, you know, this is a team that's tying up $80 million in a 32-year-old. You know, he'll be 32 in April. So, but, see, I don't know what they're going to do with pitching. Because like I said, it is a shame what Jimmy Nelson did last year and the fact that he's not going to be ready. And even if he's ahead of schedule,
right.
We discussed the other day. We don't even believe
that. Correct.
In this case. I think Hader's got to get an opportunity.
Probably
I think that's
so.
The guy you need. You just need that kind of an arm for that swing and miss stuff. I mean, the Chacin signing, I'm still not getting that. Gallardo, you don't want Gallardo anywhere near. Look, Woodruff is a guy that, you know, could be a back of the end of the rotation piece for them. You know, there are people that like him and stuff, so he could move into there. Suter, he pitched well last year, but he's not a guy I'm really buying in on. But I do think you need that. If Darvish don't want to go to Milwaukee,
no, he doesn't. He wants to, and I get it, right? A Japanese guy wants to be in L.A., where it's much like Seattle, as close as you can come to your homeland in Japan, or wants to come to New York, where, you know, there's millions of Japanese people, and they've had many Japanese players on their teams, and there's something still, Corey, about playing in New York and playing in Los Angeles. That is still a thing, and Yu Darvish wants to go to either one of those places.
The big cities on the coast are always very intriguing.
Yeah.
Number one, because of the lifestyle and the way that you can live in the big cities on the coast, and not to mention that these are the teams with the money that's going to make the push where you could be playing baseball into deep into October.
I mean, if you got money, there really is no better place in America to live than California. I mean, it's going to cost you, but like I said, this guy, you signed a couple $100 million, $150 million.
He'd be fine.
Yeah, but plus the money he has already.
Yeah, exactly. He'll figure it out.
The free agent market has gotten so bad that there's been talk, much like in 1995, where there was a strike, of putting a camp together where free agents could just get together and work out. Spring training opens in 2 weeks.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Where would it be at, in Scottsdale?
Probably Florida, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think they're kind of saying it's not going to be necessary because most of these guys have their own places where they train,
right.
Complexes.
Right.
I mean, nowadays,
it's a little bit different than 95, right, where everyone's just taking steroids and drinking beer and smoking stuff. Now these players are working out at these, like, multi-million dollar complexes.
And I think once Darvish goes and, you know, there will be a flurry where most of these guys are signed. As you know, what are we, the 31st? I think the first team reports on the 12th or so. So in this next 2 weeks, we're going to start seeing some movement. And then hopefully, you know, Darvish is done. Because, I mean, where he lands, it's a much better landing spot for me in Chavez Ravine versus Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I agree with that.
You look at his numbers at Texas versus on the road.
Sure.
It's, you know. It's a big difference.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a huge difference for Darvish playing in a pitcher's park than a hitter's park.
Not the American League East.
And not the American League East, obviously. Not the American League, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Coors East, you know.
I get it. I get it. So definitely a boon to his fantasy value if he goes to a National League park. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And it's not just Darvish still. It's Arrieta. It's Hosmer. It's Moustakas. So much more.
Will confuse me. If Arrieta ends up at the Angels and they don't go hard after Darvish, that's a mistake.
Have you even heard Arrieta and the Angels?
They seem to be one of the names that, you know.
I haven't really heard.
It's all about Arrieta.
How much is he willing to spend? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back and hit us with some NBA next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Wild night in the NBA last night, Corey.
No. Shout out to French Montana. Unforgettable. Playing in the background.
Shout out to Dennis Roy. Give me some love for my Alex Smith as a designated survivor.
I like that.
He felt bad.
I got a pity, but I'll take it.
I can give you the petty like if you'd like. The NBA last night, as we said, Kevin Love breaks his hand, and without Blake Griffin, without Avery Bradley, without Tobias Harris, Pistons light up the Cleveland Cavaliers, 125-114.
It's going to be some nights like this going forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Quite a few, probably.
Quite a few. Obviously, you're going to see bad LeBron. Start to emerge. You're going to see him even more animated on the sidelines in the coaching staff as he coaches up Ty Lue and the rest of the team.
I love that. As he coaches up Ty Lue.
Ty, I got this.
I'm going to step over him.
You know what? Speaking of which, I'm glad that Tyronn Lue legacy is not going to be the guy that got stepped over by Allen Iverson. He actually has, I think that he will be remembered as a champion head coach and not the guy on the back end of an Allen Iverson classic moment. I think that's cool.
Sure.
You changed the narrative on him. When he first got that Cleveland job, one of the first questions he was asked about was Allen Iverson. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's what he's known, up until that point, that's what he was known for.
Absolutely.
Who wants to be that guy?
Nobody wants to be
Tyronn Lue. Look at this. This is the message to the youth of America. Give me the camera. Just because something negative happens and you're hit with adversity, you know, roles change. You look at where Tyronn Lue was in that finals. He was the guy being stepped over by Allen Iverson. You fast forward all these years later, Allen Iverson would love to be in Tyronn Lue's shoes. So there you go right there. Keep your head up.
Or at a casino.
Or just at a bar.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond last night, 21 points, 22 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks.
It seems like it's easy to have a 20-rebound game against the Cavs. None of them get on the boards. But they have Tristan Thompson at 6'10", 20-something years old, that don't grab no damn rebounds.
He had 10 of them last night.
Oh, that's good. Well, his opponent had 20. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy that makes $70 billion a year because he's LeBron James' best friend.
Not anymore. 22 rebounds for Andre Drummond, 10 rebounds for Stanley Johnson, who also had 26 points in 40 minutes of action. Anthony Tolliver, who's somehow still in the league, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 22-2 for Reggie Bullock, and 19-7 for Ish Smith. These starters get it done for Detroit last night. Meanwhile, Cleveland at 21 from LeBron, 21-6-7, 19-5 from Isaiah Thomas. You had 20-6 from Channing Frye off the bench. Dwayne Wade at 18-8-5, while Kyle Korver had 10.
Yeah, not the kind of performance. God. Yes, this is. I can't even really give you no analysis on that one.
Could you give me analysis on what you were right about yesterday? You had said, you sat here and you looked at the camera and made sure the camera was on you. And you said, if you were a betting man, take the Jazz plus 8.5 at home against the Warriors. Not only did they not lose by 9 points, they won by 30.
Yeah.
30 against the Warriors, who started Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. All four All-Stars, all four Superstars played, and all four Superstars got their asses kicked last night.
A terrible defensive performance. Well, first of all, the Golden State Warriors struggle with the Utah Jazz. Historically, since they've been on this run, they've also struggled with the Utah Jazz. One of the keys to defeating the Golden State Warriors is to be able to switch on that pick and roll. And the Utah Jazz do an excellent job at switching on the pick and roll. They're very good at that. They get in situations where Steph Curry's at the top of the key with the ball, and they can continue to guard him because they switch so well. So that's why Utah is always a tough matchup for Golden State. And then you look at the situation where Golden State, they were terrific defensively last night. They did not come to play at all. Steve Kerr after the game said that was a disgusting brand of basketball right there, and we deserve to get our asses kicked.
27.
Don't forget Kerr Pop 2020.
who's to play tonight?
Kerr Pop. It doesn't make a difference who's the top of the ticket. That's the ticket for 2020.
27 and 6 for Klay Thompson last night. 17 points for Kevin Durant. Just 14 points.
I'm sorry, Greg.
He'll probably be the cabinet for urban development. Probably.
What about Van Gundy for Secretary?
Oh, that's it. There we go. We got the whole crew right there.
Glad Matt's on board.
Yeah, Matt's on board.
For Utah, 23-11 for Ricky Rubio, 20 points for Joe Ingles, 18-10 for Derek Favors, and for the rookie, Donovan Mitchell, he put up 20 last night against Golden State. Utah improved to 22-28, 6 games under 500, beating Golden State last night.
23-11 from Rubio, as you mentioned, in 35 minutes. Ricky Rubio with a big-time double-double last night. He got the job done. Definitely was key in what this team was able to do. Also, some good minutes, like you said, from Donovan Mitchell scoring 20 points last night. So, and then Gobert doing his job defensively. Derek Favors chipping in 18-10. This is a tape that would need to be studied by the teams that's going to go deeper in the Western Conference, because the Utah Jazz have figured out a formula of defending this team. They didn't even score 100 points last night. They really do not score 100 points.
I agree with Corey that it's formula and stuff, but you got to have the pieces to do it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's sometimes easier said than done.
Absolutely. Hey, this is actually amazing tweet from McNeil. I don't know who this is, but it's somebody has 72,000 Twitter followers. He said, "Today is Happy Hugh Jackson Day." #131.
Shout out to Hugh Jackson on his special day.
That's an amazing tweet.
Mm-hmm. Something with him and a hero or something. He's eating the hero. I don't know.
Happy 131. Happy Hugh Jackson. That's an awesome tweet.
That is. You know,
tomorrow is February 1st, the beginning of Black History Month. I think we need to do a profile on Hugh Jackson.
Sure. You can do it.
Yeah.
Write it up.
Yes, we'll do a profile
on
Hugh Jackson.
Maybe a Parson profile.
I'd like the Pop. I think we tried that last February.
We'll see what we can figure out. He's busy this morning, so. Hope everything is okay with him.
Oh, I hope so, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we got that going down.
Ricky Rubio's former team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, fell last night in Toronto, back-to-back. Remember, they had lost in Atlanta, what we said the night before, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were partying in Atlanta, then went to Toronto, and fell to the Raptors, 109-104. Toronto was led by DeMar DeRozan, who had 23-8. Jonas Valanciunas had a fantastic game, 18-11. Serge Ibaka, 15-6-3, also had a major block. While Kyle Lowry had 15-9. For the T-Wolves, 25 points from Jimmy Butler. All five starters were in double digits, including Jeff Teague, who was much better last night than he was
yes.
in Atlanta.
Couldn't be much worse than he was the previous night. This is a team that need a couple days off now.
They desperately do.
They need a couple days off, get their heads back together, and get rolling again. You look at the effort defensively last night for the T-Wolves, giving up 30-point quarters in the second quarter, and once again in the final period. They did not come out at all for the second half of this game, so Minnesota Timberwolves working with tired legs right now.
Would you describe the Pacific Division as the AFC East of the NBA?
I don't know. I don't know divisions, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
what is the Pacific Division?
Well, the Golden State, the Clippers, Lakers.
I literally only look at conference. I have no idea. All right, Pacific Division is the Warriors, the Clippers,
you, like, the Patriots.
Yeah,
and then,
absolutely. That's crazy. It's the Clippers, the Lakers, the Suns, the Kings, and the Warriors.
It is. It's
like the Bills, the Jets.
It's clearly a dominant team in that division.
Wild. The other major story in the NBA was Houston. They beat Orlando 114-107. There's no Chris Paul last night. Eric Gordon gets hurt 10 minutes in with a back injury. So after that, it was all James Harden. And let me give you James Harden's line. 19 of 30, 17 of 18 from the line. He hit 5 threes en route to 60 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 steals.
Yep, big time performance last night. He goes 17-18 from the free throw line.
Out of a possible 48 minutes,
he played 46.
Short bench last night for Houston, just 8 players deep total. Really 7, because Eric Gordon got hurt. So they only had 7 players available last night. It was Ryan Anderson who started, Luka Mamute, Clint Capella, who had 12 and 13 all around the basket, James Harden, PJ Tucker, Gerald Green, and Nene, you know, he can't play more than 15 minutes.
Obviously, last night versus the Orlando Magic, it was easier to go, and especially at home versus the Orlando Magic, it's easier to get that done. What I will point to about this team, though, is you see this rotation that the Houston Rockets have. This is going to be their rotation in the playoffs. They're only going to be able to go 7-8 deep in the playoffs.
Well, it's a little different. You have Chris Paul available. You have Eric Gordon available.
You have
a little bit different.
I think James Harden's greatness just grows.
Sure.
It just grows, it seems like, every time.
You're impressed.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan.
No, he's getting it done. You see 18 free throws. That means he's going to the basket. He goes to the basket. Obviously, in Houston, they're going to put him on the line. So, a good night shooting the three also. Takes 30 shots. But the 18 free throws is clearly where he made up a lot of hay as he on in route to 60 points and a triple-double. So, and he only turned the ball over 5 times. To handle the basketball that much and only turn it over 5 times, that's pretty impressive.
The Thunder lose in Washington 102-96. Wizards get revenge after last week's loss in OKC. The Wizards also, we found out yesterday, Matt, John Wall is lost for the next 6 weeks with a knee injury.
Yeah, that's a big blow for them. I think, you know, in the Eastern Conference is going to be a shuffling of in the standings. I mean, you got the Cavs losing Love, John Wall going down, Jabari Parker coming back.
Yeah.
Things are looking good. Things are looking up in Milwaukee
and Detroit too. We play
Detroit, and then
DC plays to the level of their competition. That's their problem right now.
Russell Westbrook 13-10. Steven Adams at 16-12. Melo at 19, and Paul George now an All Star. He had 28. We take a break. Corey will give you the best bets for tonight, and on this day in history, we celebrate Jackie Robinson's birthday, and we do it next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We are back here with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tonight in the NBA, a Wednesday evening. Tonight's slate, 8 games. Another solidly sized slate here, Corey.
Decent sized slate tonight with a couple of interesting matchups on the slate. I think you point to that situation with the Miami Heat traveling to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. That should be
Does Dwayne Wade start that game?
He might have to. Hopefully he doesn't. If you're rooting for the Cavaliers. That game's not on the board right now, though, as far as point spread wise.
They're like, oh God, who knows?
Yeah, they don't know who's gonna play.
Boston also comes to New York tonight.
Yeah.
You'd be going to the Garden for that?
No, not going to happen. No, this game's in Boston.
What about the King and Frank Stanford?
I wrote it wrong.
That game's in Boston. Okay. I will not be in Boston tonight.
Yeah, you will be.
No, it's not going. It won't be Boston.
He's got Hamilton. Come on.
Yeah. I got a lot of things going on.
New York in Boston tonight. Also on the board, which is interesting, Chicago and Portland, I think, should be a fun one. Portland playing the back-to-back. Philly comes into Brooklyn. I think that should be fun. The Lakers head to Orlando. Charlotte heads to Atlanta. Not so much fun. Memphis and Indiana.
That's a donut right there. Please. That's the, like, NBA TV game of the night. You went to Corey Parson NBA lock of the day?
Give it to me, man.
The
your actual national TV games, by the way.
Yep.
New York and Boston and Phoenix and Dallas.
I don't get that. Phoenix and that's a bad night of basketball on TV. I think you got to consult your local listings as that Miami and
it's Knicks and Boston.
Yeah, you don't want to see that.
That's my local listings.
You're SOL. Tonight's lock of the night. The Philadelphia 76ers are a 7-point favorite, 7-point road favorite over the Brooklyn Nets. They will cover that number.
There you go. Your lock of the night. The Sixers will cover against the Nets tonight. Nets lost last night to the New York Knicks. Got crushed by them. They're down 20 at halftime. There was no Caris LeVert. There was no Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. We'll see if either of those guys will play tonight. We'll see if Joel Embiid plays tonight. 6 or 7.5 point favorite, you said?
7-point favorite.
Yes.
I hope Embiid does play. Nets give up like the most points to centers this year.
Will you go to that game?
Would I go to that game? I would go to that game, but I will not be going to that game.
Okay, fair enough. On this day.
Now, you know what? That would have been a good game to go to.
Still can. There's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on, bro.
It might actually pay you to show up.
On this day in history, Jackie Robinson was born.
Really?
Really.
Jackie Robinson would have been 99 years old today, so shout out to young Jack. There you go right there.
I feel like New York, you know, the Jackie Robinson, I don't know, something more should have been done.
Yeah, like the Jackie Robinson played in New York. It's crazy, right? Like, and most people don't really, like, realize that he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Do you think people think about it
like Jackie Robinson Expressway or something, like, right off of the...
Well, they do have the Jackie Rob.
They do have the Jackie Rob.
I know they have that. Oh. It should be more than that.
Oh, okay, yeah. It needs to be at Mount Rushmore. But we have to do so many Mount Rushmores. There would have to be a Mount Rushmore in every borough.
Is that today's episode of the Frenzy? The Brooklyn Mount Rushmore?
We never know. Got a lot of football to talk about today, so we got that coming up.
Maybe save that for tomorrow.
Yeah. So we got that situation coming up. But yeah, young Jack was the man. And Matt makes a good point. You really don't, you don't, when you look in the lore of great New York athletes, nobody never says Jackie Robinson.
No.
Because he played so long ago, for one.
Well, yes, but you do say Babe Ruth. People say Babe Ruth.
True, but Babe Ruth was like, a great, great, great player.
But they say Babe Ruth, they'll say Lou Gehrig, they'll say Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument Jackie Robinson was the most influential person of ever, the whole century.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but then when the team moved, it was like,
he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
He got traded to the Giants. Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to play for the enemy.
Yeah.
And look, he was getting older too. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like, you know, but for what he did and to transcend the sport, change it, and it opened up things, you know. He was the one that started it all.
Who was number two?
The Cleveland Indians. I know this too.
You saying the Cleveland Indians was
the Cleveland Larry Doby?
That's right, Larry Doby.
Yeah. I almost said Willie O. I was just thinking of the hockey for a second, but I knew Larry Doby. Yeah. Willie O'Ree, I believe, is the Boston Bruins of all teams.
There you go. As these
Branch
guys,
Rickey.
As these guys, do you know who Jackie Robinson was traded for?
Oh, that's a good one.
I should know this one. I don't top my head.
I did not know this until I just looked it up.
Who?
Jackie Robinson was traded to the arch rival New York Giants for Dick Littlefield.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Dick Littlefield.
And $35,000, which in today's cash is about $315,000. That's a lot of money they threw in there. Yeah.
Solid deal.
The trade, however, was never completed, as Matt said. Unbeknownst to the Dodgers, Robinson has already agreed with the president of Chock Full of Nuts to quit baseball and become an executive of the company. And since Robinson has sold exclusive rights to any retirement story to Look magazine 2 years previously, his retirement decision was revealed through that magazine instead of through the Dodgers organization.
I saw. Yeah, I guess that does sound like they didn't come to a good ending then. So that's, you know, unfortunate.
It's okay.
I saw his wife.
Rachel Robinson?
Mm-hmm. lady looked like she's like 65 years old. I'm like, what's going on? Why do you look like you're getting younger?
I don't know. Yeah, nothing for you. So he was an announcer. He became an announcer later on. I knew he was in movies.
I never knew he had a broadcast career.
I didn't know that either. He announced the World Series. What about announcing the World Series, the game of the week? Who knew? Announced for the Expos? Didn't know that.
Well, he played minor league ball up in Montreal for the Dodgers after they had their affiliate.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Did you think the movie was good?
It was fine.
I thought it was all right.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it could have been better.
I agree.
I would like to see them going a little bit deeper. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Non-Disney.
Non-Disney.
That was the problem. It was...
yeah.
If you wanted to just do the mainstream thing, it's fine, but...
Yeah.
If you want to get real...
It needs to be a little bit deeper.
I agree with that. Robinson... protested against Major League's ongoing lack of minority managers and central office personnel, did not appear at an old-timers game at Yankee Stadium. His final public appearance was on October 15th of 1972, throwing out the ceremonial first pitch before Game 2 of the World Series in Cincinnati. He accepted a plaque honoring the 25th anniversary of his MLB debut, but commented, quote, "I'm going to be tremendously more pleased and more proud when I look at the third base coaching line one day and see a black face managing in baseball. That wish was only fulfilled following Robinson's death when Frank Robinson became the manager of the
Sounded like Jackie Robinson wanted to be a manager.
It seemed like that.
I don't know if maybe he wanted to be more of an exec.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong there. But, I mean, another guy you just mentioned was Frank Robinson. And for what he did for baseball, he's a guy that like the forgotten man. Even before all these home runs, he had the 586. And it was always like Willie Mays, deservedly so, and stuff like that. But Frank Robinson always got, he never got the credit he deserved, in my opinion.
Jackie Robinson had a couple of kids. Obviously, his oldest son, Jackie Robinson Jr., had some major mental health issues and drug issues. He actually passed away before Jackie Robinson did. The daughter, Sharon, became a midwife and educator, director of educational programming for MLB, wrote two books about her dad. And then David Robinson has six kids, is a coffee grower and social activist in Tanzania.
There you go right there. That's the Robinson update.
There you go. David Robinson would have been Jackie Robinson would have been 99 years old today. A jersey Robinson brought home with him in 1947 after his rookie year was sold at an auction last November for...
$475,000?
$2 million.
There you go right there.
The price was the highest price ever paid for a post-World War II jersey. And there you go. Other birthdays today. Sharing it with Jackie Robinson. Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks.
Yeah.
Mr. Cub, like I said, I was living in Chicago when Ernie Banks passed away. He was like a dignitary. Had done it.
Ernie Banks and Jackie Robinson both celebrate the birthdays today, January 31st. Happy birthday to the no-hitter king and the strikeout king, Nolan Ryan.
And look, Nolan Ryan, for how his longevity, he wasn't the greatest pitcher ever, but he was a hell of the Mets. He was a Met.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I don't, right quick, if you was to put Nolan Ryan on a Mount Rushmore, what city would it be?
If I had to put it on a city?
Arlington, right?
That would be Dallas.
No, see, that's
or would it be Houston?
It might be more Houston. I mean, look, the Angels is where he kind of got on track. He left the Mets. You know, we got traded from Fregosi to there. I'd have to go look at the numbers, but...
I'd say Dallas, still. Happy birthday goes out to Vernon Davis.
VD, that's
VD,
your guy.
Oh, my guy.
There you go, Fit a Turtle, man. University of Maryland.
Sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
And hopefully...
Shout out to PG County.
Hopefully this will be a happy birthday to Doug Peterson, coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, celebrating birthday during Super Bowl week.
There you go right there. So
I
was about to give a shout-out to Doug Peterson, but that will not happen.
Two major events happened today. 1999, John Elway played in the Super Bowl, won the MVP, and retired after beating the Atlanta Falcons.
I was so happy for John Elway.
Second Super Bowl.
Yeah, but, I mean, being able to win at least one. He took subpar teams, and the teams he went up against, he really had no shot. Just to be able to watch him, that drive, just his game in general. He was a hell of a quarterback, probably my all-time favorite.
And in 2000 today, do you know what happened? Corey Parsons.
2000, the last day of January in 2000.
NFL related.
The Ravens won the Super Bowl.
That's it.
Close.
Was it Ray Lewis?
Ray Lewis.
The white
today.
Suit? Oh. That was my second guess.
It's the white suit.
I was trying to go positive.
Happy white, suit day.
Reverend Ray.
They ain't never found that suit. Oh, man. Super Bowl in Atlanta next year. That's where the white suit incident happened.
New stadium in Atlanta, though.
Yep. Yeah, it won't be the Georgia Dome. Yikes.
White suit.
Get right with you. That's a way to end the program right there.
We will come back. We'll hear
we
from
see
Jake
you, Ray Ray.
And we will send you into the Fantasy Frenzy. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Program here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's been a fun show, a lot going on today. You'll hear more about it coming up next on The Frenzy with Corey, with Matt, and with my guest at this time, the all-in kid, Jake Shealy. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg?
How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Absolutely. So a lot happened last night. We had the State of the Union, of course. We had Kevin Love break his hand, probably because he didn't want to play with LeBron. And then we had the trade. Alex Smith on his way to Washington in exchange for Kendall Fuller and a third-round pick. Your thoughts, Jake?
That the Kansas City Chiefs fleeced the living hell out of the Redskins.
Andy Reid did it again. He traded an aging Donovan McNabb to Washington the first time, where we all knew, except for Washington, that Donovan McNabb was done. Now he traded Alex Smith for Washington's, arguably, outside of Josh Norman, one of their best corners, certainly the best slot cornerback, and a third-round pick.
Yep. It was number 6 overall cornerback. Whether or not you want to dig downgrade for only playing the slot, well, then, okay, so he's the best slot corner in the league, or arguably one of the best slot corners in the top 2 or 3. So he got that, a third-round pick, and everything. It gets rid of Alex Smith, who's at 34 years old. They didn't want him around. They wanted to move on to Mahomes. The easy option, get this contract off the books. And then the Redskins give up all that, and not only give up all that, then they turn around and give him a massive contract. So I tweeted last night, you know you love my tweets, wanting to joke them and stuff like that. I was like, stupid is as stupid does. I mean, I feel bad, you know. I feel bad for Redskins fans, but at the same time, I don't, because I'm a Giants fan. But at the same time, like, it has to be frustrating to watch a team make decisions like this time and again.
Yeah, I don't. I'd be so angry, because the quarterback that you are effectively getting rid of, he's better than Alex Smith.
I would have paid the extra $5 million a year to keep Cousins. And correct. I know people are out there like, well, he's 34. Well, no, that was if they franchised. They were going to franchise him again. They would have worked out a long-term deal.
Correct.
They're like, well, Cousins doesn't want to be there anymore. I was like, well, that's their own fault.
Correct.
They dicked around Kirk Cousins for 2 years. It's kind of understandable why he didn't want to deal with that and be around anymore.
100%. If you would have just given this dude $100 million 2 years ago, no problem.
I think we should just do all Gump-isms on Fantasy Frenzy about Kirk
Cousins. It's literally no problem. You give this dude exactly, not even what he like. He wouldn't have cost what he cost now 2 years ago, and you might and you would have locked him in then. You were not paying the price that you're paying in now, and you have what looks like a really nice deal on your hands. But the Redskins have zero foresight. Instead, they wind up trading a pick away, signing Alex Smith to a long term deal, and sending the number 6 cornerback in Pro Football Focus's rankings away to get a guy that is worse than the guy you had. Redskins football.
And he's going to be 38 by the time this contract ends. Coming off a career season, the first time he's ever thrown over 23. The only second time he's only thrown over 20 touchdowns. He's never had as many pass attempts as Kirk Cousins. This is a downgrade, upgrade to Jamison Crowder and Jordan Reed, if Jordan Reed can stay on the field, but downgrade to everybody else.
Yeah, Jordan Reed, great player, but I think it's washed.
Oh, upgrade to Chris Thompson, too, but we'll talk more on the frenzy about all that.
The Kirk Cousins part, I agree. I'm sorry, the Chris Thompson part, I agree. It's an upgrade there. Probably nobody else, realistically. Are you one of those people, Jake? I know everyone's going to be buying in on Patrick Mahomes. Are you one of these people that are saying, listen, this offense is going to open up more now, like I'm in on Patrick Mahomes?
I'm in on Patrick Mahomes as a QB, too. Let's be realistic. The rushing ability, it definitely helps him be a high-end QB, too. But to call him a QB1 and get excited about that level, this is going to be his first full season started. He's going to have rookie bumps. He still has mechanical issues. And I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan, but cool your jets a little bit, guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to cool our jets. Matt was right. Spoke about it earlier in the show. There's going to be up and downs.
There's definitely be up and downs. But he does have a nice trifecta in there already of Hunt, Kelce, and Hill.
The pieces are definitely there. More about this trade coming up in the next hour here on The Frenzy, certainly on Target later on. For Jakey Seely, for Corey Parson, for Matt Modica, for Don Burns, and, of course, Chris Venture downstairs, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching and listening to The Roto Experts, and we will see you tomorrow.